Okay, Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have as we continue studies in your word. We are praying, as always, for more insight and enlightenment as we read these things. We pray our hearts and minds might be open to receive it, and that our meditation on these things might bring forth our fruitful understanding of your word and will. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are picking back up in Genesis, and we're moving on with Jacob. And if you've studied these things on your own, you'll see that God deals with each of these men in different aspects. And Jacob has about 10 incidents, Jenny, in his life, about 10 incidents that the Lord uses to instruct him and to strengthen his faith and to show that he is the man that God is using. You have, this is just one of those. We just went through the birthright before they were born. You have the deception that Jacob pulls on his father. You have this dream that we're coming up to. And then there's about 7 other incidents. Then you can check those out on your own. We won't cover all those, even going forward with our lessons. But you can check those things out for yourself. And they end with him going into Egypt to sojourn there. But we're picking up here in chapter 28 and verse 10 with the dream that Jacob has. So we'll pick up at verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. This is Jacob going to, he's on his way to pick out a wife. This is what his mother and father has decided that he should do, is to leave there and to go take a wife from her homeland, from her uncle Laban. And that'll come up later. Verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. But Jacob, as he's sleeping, he's dreaming a dream. And these dreams, God takes the opportunity to speak to his people in that time through the dream, through the vision, through the, they call them theophanies, that is the God appearances. Hold your hand there and look at Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. The way God revealed himself in time past was by the dreams, by the visions, by supernatural events or manifestations, like in the bush with Moses. Even through animals, he spoke to men. The dreams and the visions were probably the most frequently used. But at sundry times and divers manners, he spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He used those men to reveal his word and will to. Despite the popular presentation, we don't have those type of revelations today. not me, not you, and not any of these guys who purport to have those visions. God is not speaking like that anymore when he has recorded all these things in his word. And the reason those things are written down is that we might know what God is doing today and we won't be deceived. Before we go back to Genesis 28, go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, if you especially when you're looking at the religious shows on TV or maybe YouTube programs, everybody is getting a vision. Everybody's getting a revelation about what's going to happen or what God is doing. And God has showed me this. And everybody is has the inside track on this information. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or wonder. Now, this is to the nation Israel, but this is something that you could learn from today, because anybody who presents a revelation today, they are going up against Paul's revelation. If Paul has written in his epistles that God has given him the ministry to fulfill the word of God by his revelation, when Paul is done writing his books, then there's nothing left to be said. So anybody who comes after Paul and claims that they have a revelation, according to 1 Corinthians 14, that they are spiritual or a prophet, he says, let him acknowledge that what I write are the commandments of the Lord, not what we write, what I write. And Paul says that he's given it to me. Deuteronomy 13, 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now that's strong words that God has recorded for those deceivers. Now think if that was in operation today, if God was proving his believers today, proving his saints today in that fashion, how many people you think would die if they were found to be false and to found to be misleading, found to be deceptive?
There'd be a lot of them.
A lot of money bags.
It would be a lot, wouldn't it? Now, purposely. Now, I'm not saying this if a man is speaking out of ignorance, out of a partial knowledge, that he needs to have the word expounded unto him more perfectly. This is in a sense where, like Paul says in Ephesians, there's some that lie in wait to deceive. That they have it planned out that next week when I preach, I am tailoring my message for the maximum amount of deception. Now you say nobody would do that. Well, go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Information is serious. That's what I was telling you guys before we started. Every week, from Sunday when I'm done to Saturday night when I have to get ready again, or when I'm thinking about it again, all those days I'm thinking I should not be doing this, because the responsibility is that great, and the information that you are that the information that you have to present and the accuracy which it has to be presented, you realize the insufficiency that you have to do this job. And I'm telling David and Louise that any teacher or preacher, if he doesn't feel the inadequacy when he approaches a group of people, or I would say even one person, to teach or preach, then the Holy Spirit really needs to work in his heart and mind to show him that he's not equipped outside of the Lord to speak on the behalf of God and speak to God's people. It's a big responsibility. If you're sincere. Now, if you don't care, like this person, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, there's people who say they're believers, and they could even be believers, but they are using sleight of words. They're using cunning craftiness. They're using deceptive messages in their doctrine to deceive purposely. Now, I remember speaking about this, and one of the people says, I don't believe that they would do that. Well, you just read it. You just read right here in one verse, not to mention other verses that Paul speaks about in his other epistles. You just saw in one verse that people sit down, people deliberately teach doctrine to deceive, to draw away people, to build a following, honest people, sincere people. They use the doctrine to draw them away. And the funny part about it is, it's never your pastor. It could not be him. If you ask 10 people from 10 different churches, do you think your pastor would deliberately deceive you? Oh, absolutely not. My pastor loves me. He loves us. He would never do that intentionally. Well, Paul's got somebody in mind there, doesn't he? And I'm sure that the people they were sitting under were loyal to their leadership. But again, you can never get them to see that it could be yours, and it could be an established person that you've been sitting under for years. But that goes to show you that it's the doctrine that's important. Understanding how the revelation comes, how at different times God spoke in different ways to different people, and identifying the way he's speaking today and who he's speaking through today. Back here is Jacob. Jacob has a dream, back to 28. Jacob has this dream, and he dreams of a ladder. In verse 28:12, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. A ladder is obviously a connecting apparatus, if you will, joining two things, permitting travel between two places, between the earth and heaven. And it says in verse 12 that it was set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. Now, that should sound familiar to you when you came out of Genesis chapter 11. So let's go back there in case you don't remember it. The tower. Genesis chapter 11, where you saw another apparatus that was used to connect two realms. Genesis chapter 11, start at verse 1. And the language, and 11 verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad from the face of the whole earth. Now, here's some people journeying from the east. They're setting up a tower. They're establishing, in verse 4, a city and a tower. That is, they're establishing now their name. Remember the name? They're establishing. This didn't say First Tabernacle of Shinar. Not that kind of name. This was a name as the authority, the political and spiritual authority that they were trying to establish in the plain of Shinar. We're going to do it our way. We are the political rulers. We are the spiritual rulers. We don't really need the Most High God to interfere in our activities. We know he said scatter, but he's not our God. We're going to do this. So they established a city and a tower. And the Lord came down, verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. That is the Lord undoing, foiling their attempts to establish a political and spiritual authority without him, in opposition to him. Now, another incident, back in chapter 6, it happened before. You know, well, let's go back to chapter 6, since I mentioned it. Chapter 6, start at verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will spoil this attempt. He didn't say that. He said, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So you see an attempt. Now there's another one back in Genesis chapter 3, but we're not going to go back there. But I think you get the picture. So we'll go back to Jacob. There's an attempt now to reestablish the authority between heaven and earth. There's an attempt here to usurp the authority between heaven and earth, not the way God says it should be done, but the way the usurper says it should be done. And he is devising ways to make his authority and his word and his will the one that should be listened to, the one that should be followed. And Jacob, with this dream, God is showing him, back to 28, God is showing Jacob with this dream now that I'm going to establish this authority again. And this time, it's going to be with the right man and the right God, the right authority. Chapter 28, verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. So we see now that this new establishment is going to begin on the earth. This new authority is going to be established on the earth. The earth is the command center. And we'll go a little further and we'll see that Jacob calls it Bethel. Bethel, Beth-El, the house of God. The house of God. It's on the earth, he says. Just like in the beginning, there was a man put in Eden, the house of God, the authority. And Jacob now, the Lord said that this was a ladder set up, and the top of it reached to heaven, and angels ascending and descending on it. We're going to talk about the ladder being the connecting place, the connection between the two. And these angels are ascending, or angels of God ascending and descending, and the Lord stood above it. One other incident, this is in John, and I'm sure you remember this, when John is speaking about Jesus in John chapter 1. Let's go over to John chapter 1. This is just we're going to drop this in and then go back. This is kind of going ahead a little bit, but in John chapter 1, let's start at verse 43, John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, this is when the Lord is just beginning his ministry, his earthly ministry. Well, tell you what, let's go back to chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Where was God in the beginning? Geographically, his location. Where was he? In heaven. Okay.
Somebody said everywhere, but it sounds like a trick.
No, not a trick question. But yeah, we'll say he was in heaven, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 14. Now we'll drop down there, 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, manifested him, revealed him. Now we'll go to verse 43. Chapter 1, verse 35. again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed him. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Now they're narrowing down the Messiah. They're identifying the Messiah. He is manifesting, being manifested to Israel. And here's a group of the believers, the early believers, who identify him. They recognize him. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. In other words, you are the man who has the authority. Who is the authority? Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon this place. You say this place.
Upon the Son of God.
Now, back in Jacob's vision, it was something set up on the earth, wasn't it? And that's where he saw the angels ascending and descending. But here, Jesus says, Nathanael, you're going to see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, yes, great, great catch. Yeah, that's now think about this. The Son of Man is on the earth, right? In according to Jesus. But back here in 28:12, when Jacob dreams his dream, in verse 13, he says he saw the ladder, and behold, the Lord stood where? Above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou dwellest, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now Jesus says, I'm going to be not standing above it. I'm going to be where? I'm going to be down here, and they're going to be ascending and descending upon me, because he will be the established authority of that day in the place that is established as the authoritative place. We call it the kingdom. He says, I am going to be there, the king, with the authority, and I'm going to be in the kingdom, and the information is going to be coming from me up and down, from me up and down. Now, that's kind of against the way that we think things should be. It should be coming from up, down. But it's going from down to up and back. You know, those are some of those things that we have to, I don't say adjust our thinking, but just read the verses the way they are. And when it changes, God will tell you when to change. So back to 28, verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now, this is the Lord in John. He's establishing the fact that he is the light. He is the authority. He is the king, among other things. As a matter of fact, if you're still in John, look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. This ladder, back in Genesis, that's an access point. That's a connecting point. Jacob, when he reads it, he's going to say that this is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The gate, that is the seat of authority, a establishment of the political leadership. That's where they meet, the gate. He says, this is none other but the gate of heaven. In verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus says, if you come up any other way other than the door, you are a thief and a robber, a usurper. You're trying to get in outside of the prescribed way. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, the Lord is saying here in John chapter 10, I'll let him tell us, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the gate of the sheep. I know. He says, I am the door of the sheep.
Well, door, gate is like an entry point.
All right. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Now, back to Genesis. This establishment in verse 20, Genesis 28, let's go down to verse 17, or verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured it upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now, this little incident, God is establishing now his intention, his goal, his aim is to set up that authority on earth. That's promised to Abraham, promised to Isaac, promised to Jacob. The verses that we read, there's a lot of connecting to do before you get to Jesus. When Jesus says, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon me. Now, Jesus is not even born yet. There's a whole string of people waiting in line before we even, there's a whole string of characters, Louise, before we even get to Jesus. We're just from Adam, now we're just to Jacob. And there's a whole lot of characters in between that get to the fullness of the time when Jesus comes. But this is the dream. This is a revelation that Jacob's getting. That's why he can say, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Of course you don't know it yet, because you're just playing your part, Jacob. And he's only revealing a little bit more to you. You still got some things to experience. But he's putting some pieces together, and for us to put these pieces together, that it's the house of God. It's the gate of heaven. And this is important, because now what's missing is the man to whom is going to head up the authority and the establishment of that place. Now, I'm going to skip over to something in Daniel. I mean, we're making some big leaps, but some of the information that we know, we can kind of fill in the blanks for these things. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar has his dream, he has his dream about the statue, and then he has another dream about a tree. And this is in chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Chapter 4, verse 18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Belshazzar is Daniel. That's the name that he's given him. Well, he says in verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts, there's that number again, Jenny. If you're reading over those things, you'll miss some things. But when I'm reading, I just can't help but notice them. Sometimes I'll say it, sometimes I won't. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowl of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and it reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. This is the tree that Nebuchadnezzar dreams about. Daniel's telling him, you are the tree, and your dominion is great, in so many words. Verse chapter 5, let's see, chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor, and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up in his mind, hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he, the Most High God, appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Now, if nothing else, with everything we read, to take away from this is God established Nebuchadnezzar with the kingdom, dominion, power, authority. And because Nebuchadnezzar did not recognize the Most High God, did not honor him, he took it away and he said that he was deposed from his kingly throne and his glory taken away. And the kingdom, to prove that the Most High God ruled in heaven and earth, it was taken from him and given to, and scripture says, to whomsoever he will. That's the point to take away. Is God could take the kingdom and give it to whomsoever he will. And now there's a verse here, and I've got to find this verse, because it is, when you read it, it'll sound really familiar to you. It should sound really familiar to you. And I know it's in here, but I didn't write it down, but I know it's in here.
Got any key words?
The key word is when Daniel says, to the intent, that this is done to the intent that something might be made known to you. But it's in Daniel, though. Chapter 2.
Search. 245. No.
245?
God hath made known to know. Never mind. To the intent.
Yes. That's but what we do, what we see here.
417.
417. Yep.
Okay. Daniel 417. Okay. Let's see here. Let's start at verse 15. 415. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. Now, that's the same thing we just read. In other words, Daniel was saying that cut the tree down, which symbolizes Nebuchadnezzar's might, his authority, his power, and he is going to establish it after seven times. But he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, the point is that God can give this kingdom, this is the intent of this judgment, is that God will give the kingdom to anyone he wants. The Most High God will give the kingdom to any one he wants. And the angels ordained this. The holy ones, that's the angels. The watchers, those are the angels. They gave this decree to the intent for the purpose that the living, the men on the earth, would know that God could do whatever he wants to do with the kingdom. Does that sound familiar to you? I'm just giving this is just an example. If it doesn't, Ephesians. Go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is, our apostle, is talking about the Gentiles. The Gentiles in chapter 3, he says in chapter 3, verses 1 down through, well, let's just read it and then we'll close up here in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, verse 1, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You know, Daniel is, he is the, to Daniel was given by God the ability to reveal secrets. He was given the ability to interpret the dreams. And Paul is given the same ability to reveal secrets. He's a recipient of visions and revelations to explain things that men wondered about. And specifically, the things that they wondered about, what did Nebuchadnezzar wonder about? He's wondering about this statue. He's wondering about this tree. But you know what he's wondering about? He's wondering about the rule and authority. He's wondering about the rule and authority that he had. What does all this mean? And Paul is he's given this mystery. And you know what the mystery deals with? It deals with the rule and authority. The spiritual rule and authority. Verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, just to paint a little broader picture here, or give it a little more detail, Paul is given this revelation. He's explaining the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles, that God, through Christ, has given the Gentiles rulership and authority that nobody thought about, nobody knew about, nobody dreamt about until it was revealed to him. And he says, now this is to the intent, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. This is to the intent that by the church might be known by the church, to the intent that by the church, the body of Christ, might be known the manifold wisdom of God. That is, Paul has revealed now he has revealed his military strategy. How about that? He has revealed his military tactic.
Could we say revealed the fullness of his plan? Because Paul was given to fulfill the word of God.
Okay. You know, I think about this. Remember when the SEAL team went in and killed Osama bin Laden? Nobody knows how they did it. Nobody knows the workings behind the scene until when it's all said and done, you hear an announcement that we want to announce that we have killed Osama bin Laden. And everybody's, oh, wow, wow, what happened? And then they come on and then they fill in the details. They show you how it was done. They show you how they found out where he was. They give you all the details. And this is what Paul is doing. He says, to the intent now, I want to show you how smart this plan was. Not just for the men living on the earth, but now to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. I want to show you how smart God's strategy was. When he says he can give the kingdom to whomsoever he will, and it could be to someone that you had no idea that he would even consider. And it could be the extent of it, him being the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Paul says, I'm revealing to you all these inner workings. Now, that's just a little bit to consider as we go back to Genesis 28 to close here. Jacob has this vision. He sees the angels ascending and descending upon it. And then we'll pick up a little bit more about that next week. And he calls it the house of God, the gate of heaven. This is the authority that God is going to establish on the earth, that God is going to establish with Jacob's seed. And he promises him in verse 14 down through 16, and we'll close out here. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. Now this is God talking to Jacob. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Now, how secure should Jacob feel after this?
Very.
Very.
He should feel very secure, shouldn't he? The Lord is telling him, I'm with you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to bring you back again. I won't leave you until this is done. In other words, he's telling Jacob, I got you. You are secure with me. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, an unnecessary vow, I might add. He vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Still hadn't learned the lesson. He's still learning. He's a freshman. He still got to go to sophomore class, junior class, senior class. He's still in a learning process. You know the old saying that you see of plaques and shirts and please be patient. God is not through with me yet. That's Jacob. And verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now, that's That's from a man that's just starting. He's just starting out. His bargain holds no weight with God. Everything that he says, if you'll do, God has already told him, I will surely do this. So this is what we're dealing with, the characters God deals with. He doesn't take away their thoughts and their actions. He just works with them according to his counsel. The same is with us. We've done some of these things, do some of these things, will do some of these things. But we thank God. David said this in his post. He says that gives us the great assurance. He didn't say it exactly like that, but it gives us a great assurance of hope that we, despite whatever happens with us, we have the expectation, the anticipation that God has got our back. I think that's what is that? I think some celebrity said, God's got me. God's got me. And they don't, maybe I won't say they don't know, but the only way you know God's got you is because you got God's doctrine in you to know that God's got you. Not something that you make up, God's got you. You have to read and know that God's got you. So we're going to stop there, pick up again in 28 next week and move forward. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that our hearts and minds would be enlightened. Pray for the body members to bless them according to their needs. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.